after huge wave pounded over the Zodiac in the darkness. There were numerous points when Heather and the other crew member were almost thrown overboard. She said it was a miracle she survived. I like to think that the energy I sent was helpful to her on that night. This is an example of very special strands that I call communion cords. These are what hold families and hold loved ones together. Not only can we tune into each other through them, but they also provide the comfort of knowing that we are not alone. We know we have a clan of strength, love, and wisdom at our back. The clearer and more luminous the communion cords that you have, the more balanced you'll be. When relationships are flourishing, these connecting strands are beautiful, glowing, thick, and strong. In people who have long-term loving commitment or dearly care for each other, the strands glow, even though the individuals might have miles between them. Love, information, and emotions travel quickly and easily through communion cords. This is why a husband can tell his wife is in pain from slipping on the ice in front of the house, even though he's at work. Or a mother can tell that her son is in trouble, even though he's far away at war. Or a twin can tell her sibling is feeling elated, even though they live in different towns. Communion cords connect us to our dear friends, our family members, ancestors, beloved pets, and spiritual gurus, as well as to the angelic realms and to the Creator. Life is harmonic and whole when our communion cords are clear and radiant. However, sometimes in personal relationships, there is vibrational interference that creates debris within the communion strands that connect us. What this means is that although love flows through the cord connection, it isn't always as clear as it could be. There can be interference from people, places, and things. This phenomena has been referred to as a kind of vibrational asteroid belt that pummels the strand. The vibrational interference that passes through the strand, like asteroids floating through a galaxy, makes the energy flow ragged and muddy. Hence, sometimes we'll misinterpret what is being said, or we'll feel that we've been misunderstood. We feel that we've sent out a compassionate, kind communication, but when it reaches its destination, it's misunderstood and not taken the way we meant it. This vibrational interference can come from other people, but it can also come from your location or your home energy. In this chapter, you'll learn a number of things you can do to keep your personal energy field strong and thus keep your communion strands vivid and effervescent. Here's an easy exercise that can clear out the detritus in the strands between you and a beloved. 21 days to sumptuous strands. Step 1. Choose a specific time of day when you both have uninterrupted time available. Then choose the exact amount of time that you'll be dedicating daily for 21 days. It can be anywhere from 4 to 7 minutes. For example, every morning between 7:56 and 8 o'clock. Step 2. Make sure that your energy is as clear as possible. Shower or bathe beforehand. If that's not possible, then wash your face, hands, and feet. Step 3. Sit facing in the direction of your beloved, no matter where he or she is. You might need to use a compass to do this. If you are both in the same physical location, sit across from each other. Step 4. Go into a meditative state and visualize the strands flowing between you as absolutely radiant, strong, and clear. They are so powerful that nothing can disrupt them. This exercise is like going in for a tune-up for your car. It will make an enormous difference in your relationship. Down the road, if you feel you need another tune-up, you can do it again. However, it usually doesn't need to be as long as the 21 days. Even a few days can help reestablish the love strands between you. A home for the soul. The energy in your home affects the energy of your life. The single most important influence on your strands is your home environment. If you want to have luscious, healthy, and clear affinity strands and communion strands, you need to live in a home that makes your heart sing. The energy of your home is the single most valuable thing you can attend to in order to have bright, shining energy connections to the greater world and to your loved ones. The energy in your home is an intersection between your inner universe and the outer universe, between inner and outer realities. It can be a place of renewal and hope, a sanctuary within which you can retreat and recharge during changing times, an oasis of peace during turmoil. It can be a place of healing for every situation and a focal point for power and spirit. Not only can your home help strengthen and heal you, but it can also be a template of harmony in which all who entered are invited to step into a higher spiritual frequency. Everyone's energy strands will glisten with vibrant radiance as a result of the energy that you anchor into your home. Your dwelling is much more than a place to lay your head and seek comfort from the elements. It is a crossing point in time and space that can attract energy or repel energy, and every object in your environment takes your energy up, down, or keeps it neutral. These objects in your home can uplift you or they can deplete you. Every object in your house affects your energy frequency because you have strands and cords of energy connecting you to all the objects in your home. It's valuable to infuse your living space with a sense of cosmic order to bring integrity and balance into your life. Your home can offer sanctuary and renewed faith during the times ahead. It can provide you with a sacred space within which you can remember who you are and remember why you are on the planet at this time. The energy of your home can either spur you towards gracious evolution or keep you stranded in one place. Luckily, there are ways you can transform your home energy into a powerful force for good. By harmonizing your home and the things in it, and by releasing objects that do not reflect the life you desire now and in the future, you can open channels within your living space so your home becomes a collection point for energy. Your home, in turn, will radiate this energy in the form of love and light to the rest of the world. To establish your home as a sanctuary where you can renew your energy, replenish your inner sources, and strengthen your cords, there are several things you can do. 1. Clutter clear your home. 2. Space clear your home. 3. Create an altar. 4. Establish remarkable vibrating energy fields in your home. Less clutter, more joy. Clutter clearing is one of the very best ways to keep your frequency high and your strands clear. You have cords of energy connecting you to each of the items in your home. The objects that have positive meaning for you or that were given to you by someone with whom you have a loving relationship will be clearer cords. If the relationship with the person who gave you an item is not a good one, usually the strands connecting you to that object are murky or limp. The associations and memories that an item has for you will also impact the cords attaching you to it. If there's a comforter on your bed that was your grandmother's, but your grandmother used to complain about life all the time, there might be an association with complaints about life connected to the comforter. This can affect your attached cords to the comforter and, as a result, how well you sleep. Every item has a cord attaching to you at one of your chakras or energy fields. Your clutter subjects you to a mishmash of cords, strands, and filaments that are jamming up the works. This can make you feel exhausted, drag you down, and even make you feel overwhelmed. When your energy strands are clogged, your life can feel clogged. If you want to keep your strands vibrating with life force and strengthen the cords that connect you to the universe, clear your clutter. Clear your clutter. It makes your home energy shine. One of the ways to release depleting strands is to clear out any stuff that you associate with a negative person, negative place, experience, or thing. If you feel, for example, that an ex-husband has strands hooked into you that you want to release, but you have objects in your home that he gave you and that remind you of him, it might be time to do some clutter clearing. Now, just because your ex gave you something doesn't mean that it necessarily is draining your energy. But often an object that has negative emotional associations brings your energy down and can even strengthen the unhappy cords between you and the other person. After a divorce, separation, or breakup, one of the most important things and places to clutter clear is your bed. Sleeping in the same bed that the two of you shared often makes it difficult to detach from your ex. The cords between you can continue to reattach in spite of your cord-cutting efforts. Now, of course, if you can't afford a new mattress, then you can clear the old one with sage. Additionally, clear the headboard and frame. If you have a wooden bed frame, you can take a tuning fork and after striking it, place the end on the wood so the vibration travels through the wood grain. If it's a metal bed, then use a bell or gong to clear it. From a spiritual perspective, letting go of physical stuff equates with letting go of emotional blockages and barriers in your life. In truth, clutter can be a signpost that suggests other things going on beneath the surface. It can also be a buffer in regard to various fears, such as fear of rejection or the fear about the future. It might be the result of negative relationships, unsolved childhood issues, feeling like you're not good enough, constantly nurturing or pleasing others without taking care of your own needs, or a number of other things. The cords and strands that connect us to our stuff can completely clog our energy if we're not careful. The energy strands connecting us to the world around us can look like a rat's nest if clutter is not addressed. Simply clearing the things that you don't love and don't use isn't enough. If you don't go to the source of the reason for your clutter, it will accumulate again and again. Now, more isn't better. Studies show that we're not happier, healthier, smarter, or more loving as a result of our stuff. We are in a supersized society. Our homes are supersized with stuff. Clutter clearing as a physical activity is a valuable exercise. When you do it, there's less stuff to care for, clean, and trip over. However, in a deeper sense, clutter clearing can be a spiritually empowering exercise because there comes a point when material objects begin to crowd out emotional and spiritual needs. Your cords become clogged with such energetic debris. Now, some people have a condition that propels them to hoard. This is very different than someone who just has an abundance of stuff, an abundance of clutter. There's a very distinct brain pattern in hoarders that creates a need to hold on to objects. It's a physiological condition, and this condition needs professional support. The information regarding clutter that I offer here doesn't apply to someone who has this unfortunate and debilitating condition. In the end, it isn't just about the stuff. It's about the meaning we invest in our stuff. For example, a pink vase might simply be a pink vase. But if it was the very last thing that your love gave you before he went off to war and he never returned, it might carry the meaning of true love. Or it might carry the meaning of guilt about his death. For example, if you encouraged him to go. Or it might carry the meaning of a love that can never be matched. It is not the object itself that creates challenges. It's the meaning that you invest in it. If you're having trouble having positive romantic relationships and you have objects around you that represent failed relationships from the past, these objects subliminally continue to scream out at you again and again that you're a failure in regard to relationships. This, in turn, becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. In Chapter 2, you scanned your body to discover what you're corded to. You can use the same process to scan your home or your living space to see what objects and items have the strongest cords. You can also scan to see if there's anything that brings your energy down and anything you need to clear out of your home. What is clutter to one person may not be to another. If you love it or use it, it is not clutter. Also, something that's clutter in one part of your home might not be clutter in another. My suggestion is to go through your home and with every object ask yourself if you love it or use it. If the answer is no, you might consider moving it out of your living space. Your energy strands will thank you. When you are in a clutter-free home, it's so much easier to release pesky strands and keep only beneficial strands strong and clear. For more information about clutter clearing, see my online certification program, Less Clutter, More Joy, to become a professional clutter coach through HayHouseU.com. The next step after you've clutter cleared your home is to clean it and then space clear it. Space clearing techniques. In ancient times, people understood the importance of creating a sense of harmony in their dwellings. They developed techniques and methods to release stagnant energy and to invoke joy and vitality in living spaces. Every ancient civilization and native culture used space clearing techniques. The methods and tools varied from one group to another, but the intent was the same, to create greater harmony and clarity in a living space. Native Americans used drums, rattles, and burning herbs in their rituals. The Chinese used gongs, chanting, and incense. In medieval Europe, salt and prayers cleared space. In the Middle East, smoldering resins, such as frankincense and myrrh, were used to dispel negativity. Some of these traditions have survived virtually unchanged into modern times. The Greek Orthodox priest swinging an incense censer in a church and the person who throws salt over their shoulder to avert evil are both employing ancient techniques of space clearing. But many more have been lost to time. For over 4.5 decades, I have practiced the art of cleansing and harmonizing home energy, a skill that I named space clearing. When I originated the phrase, I thought people would laugh, thinking it meant that someone had a broom up in space. But somehow the phrase stuck, and now it's in common usage. No matter what name is used, present-day space clearing techniques have their source in ancient techniques practiced throughout human history. Clearing the spaces in your home clears space in your life. These ceremonies of old that brought vitality to human structures generations ago can be used to instill peace and equilibrium in today's homes and businesses. When your home is space cleared, it's very difficult for pesky strands of energy to stay anchored in your energy field. Many people are finding that these ancient rituals can be adapted very successfully for modern day use. And most important, they're discovering that they work. Following a century of rapid technological advances, people are recovering lost space clearing traditions. Traditional Western businesses are hiring professional space clearers because they've found that by doing so increases sales and productivity. Some of the largest real estate firms in America are using the services of space clearers in order to dramatically accelerate property sales. Land management corporations are employing space clearers to perform blessings on the land before beginning to build large suburban housing developments. Homeowners who had never heard of space clearing only a year ago are now ringing bells, burning sage, and chanting mantras because they have found that their homes feel better as a result. Your home energy responds to human thought and intention. Invisible, yet very real strands of energy are interwoven throughout your home. Your home is not just an inanimate physical structure. It's a receptacle for vibrating unseen energy fields. And these energy fields respond to your thoughts and your intention. Every space has energy. Your home is not only a composite of materials assembled for shelter, but every cubic centimeter of it, whether solid or seemingly empty space, is also composed of infinite flows and strands of energy. When you enter a space that makes you immediately feel light and uplifted, or walk into a room where the atmosphere leaves you depleted and drained, you are responding to the energy of the environment. If you notice tension and heaviness in a room after an argument has taken place, you are experiencing a residual energy that can linger in the space long after the argument has ended. Sometimes energy in a home or office can become stagnant and dull. When this is the case, you may feel tired and listless or become agitated and angry. However, learning a few simple techniques to cleanse the energy of your space can produce a remarkable and positive influence on the way you feel and on every aspect of your life. When you call for blessings and assistance from the unseen realms of spirit, negative strands drop away, and untold magic and joy can fill your heart, so your home becomes a home for your soul. The most important requirements for any clearing will always be your own intuition and the promptings of your heart. As you open your heart to spirit, you'll be led to the tools, the information, and the ceremonies that are right for you. Simply walking around each major room in your home, ringing a bell or lighting incense at an altar, or wafting the smoke of burning sage with a feather in the morning hours can set a template of clarity for the rest of the day. While you're space clearing your home, it's not uncommon for negative strands to drop off you as well. Here's a few steps to consider for your space clearing. Step-by-step space clearing. Number one, sit quietly. Close your eyes and visualize that the space clearing brings crystal clear energy into your home. Your intuition is the key that will unlock the door into the revealing world of energy in your home. Two, drink plenty of water. It's vital that you are hydrated before, during, and after the space clearing. The water will help transport energy through your body and will help release any unneeded energy that you have may taken on during the clearing. Three, put food away. It's best not to leave open containers of food out during the clearing, as it may absorb energy. Four, remove jewelry. Take off jewelry, particularly metal rings and bracelets. They can subtly impede your ability to sense energy during the space clearing. And if it's not possible, don't be concerned. The clearing can still work. Five, focus your intention. Be very clear about the results you desire for your home and for the other occupants and for yourself. Six, sensitize your hands. Breathe slowly and deeply. Sense the energy of the space. Circle the room with your hands extended, or use any of your senses to perceive the energy in the space. 7. Go slow. Remember to silence your mind and go slowly with each step of the space clearing. This allows you to perceive subtle energy flows. 8. Sense the energy in the space once again. One of the skills necessary for space clearing is the ability to sense energy fields. To develop this skill, go around the periphery, again very slowly with one hand extended. Notice areas where you feel a difference. Your arm may feel heavy or light, warm or cold in different places. There may be places that seem to feel sticky and places that feel smooth. This is not your imagination. You are sensing energy. Usually the areas that feel sticky or heavy are the places that especially need clearing. The secret to space clearing is to slow down, still your mind, and trust what you perceive. 9. Stand at the entrance. With equal weight on both feet, stand at the entrance of the room that you're going to clear. Take a few moments to radiate your intention into the room and send prayers to the Creator for guidance and assistance. 10. Break up stagnant energy. Take the tool that you're going to use, perhaps a bell, gong, drum, burning herbs, an essential oil mister, or something else, and beginning at the entrance, walk in a circular manner with your tool with the intention that you are creating a wonderful vortex of energy. For example, if you're using a bell, ring the bell at just inside the entrance and then walk in a circle around the room, ringing the bell with the intention that the energy in that room will be sparkling. Number 11. Smooth the energy of the space. After you've cleared a room, smooth the energy. To do this, you can run your hand gently around the periphery of the room, just as though you were petting a cat, until you sense that it feels settled and smooth. You can also use a tool as you do this, such as a feather, to smooth the energy. 12. Invoke blessings. After a room is cleared, imagine that it is filled with light and love, while asking for support and guidance from the spiritual realms. You can pray silently or aloud to do this. This is the most important aspect of the clearing, and must be done with reverence, respect, and devotion. 13. Make a figure eight. When you've completed a room, use your tool to make a figure eight to seal the room, and then go to the next room. It's best to start at lower floors and then move upward in the house. 14. Embrace gratitude. At the completion, return to the front door where you began, in a spirit of gratitude. When your home has been cleared in this way, it's difficult for negative energy strands to flow into your home. Additionally, it's difficult for you to have anything but positive strands flowing out of and into your body. 15. Wash your hands. Wash with cool water all the way to your elbows. Shake a few times before you dry your hands. The cold water and the shaking helps release any energy that may attach to your hands or body during the clearing. Space clearing tools. Choosing a space clearing tool. The tool that you use for space clearing is only a vehicle for your intentions and prayers. By themselves, tools cannot sanctify a home. Your bell, drum, or gong only serves as a focus point for you to direct energy into a space. However, the tool that you choose is important, because when you feel a close connection with it, it serves to amplify your intention. Choosing a tool for space clearing is very individual. One person may fall in love with the drum and find that every time they hear its sound, they can sense energy more perceptively. Someone else may find that burning sage creates a powerful shift of consciousness in a space. The best space clearing tool is the one that you feel most attracted to. How much you pay for it or where it came from does not matter as much as your love for it. Empowering your space clearing tools. To empower your space clearing tool, hold it close to your body and visualize it becoming an extension of your body and soul. When you and your space clearing instrument are thus attuned to each other, there's a special kind of alchemy that strengthens every space clearing ceremony you perform. Cleansing your space clearing tools. Before and after space clearing, you should cleanse the objects that you use. For example, if you use quartz crystals, place them in the sun or run clear, cold water over them to purify them. A drum, bell, or feather can be held in the smoke of smoldering sage leaves or cedar needles for cleansing. Your space-clearing items should then be placed in a special place and kept clean. This is important because it brings a freshness and keeps a vitality around them. Here are some of the tools that are traditionally used. These tools can be used for clearing your home and your cords and strands. They can also be used for calling blessings and love into your home. The stronger and clearer the energy in your home, the stronger and clearer and more vibrant your strands will be. Bells. There are beautiful bells made all around the world. Their sounds and the metals that they are made from will vary with the tradition of their origin. Any bell can be used for space clearing if you feel a sense of connection with it and love its sounds. The history and folklore surrounding bells could fill an entire book. Use your intuition to find the bell that is right for you. Singing bowls. The monk cradles the large metal bowl in his hand. His fingers rest gently on the cold, smooth surface as the weight of the bowl lies heavy on his palm. Focused and deliberate, he strikes the rim and slowly begins to circle the edge of the bowl with a wooden beater. A deep, reverberating hum begins to build powerfully, majestically. His eyes close. His breathing becomes deep and slow. Sound fills him until he experiences disappearing into the sound. Ripples of sound undulate through him and fill the room. Softly laying down the mallet, he sits quietly until the sound becomes a whisper. Then silence. Slowly opening his eyes, he looks at the space around him. The entire room seems to glisten with energy and light. Tibetan singing bowls, sometimes called Himalayan bowls, come from Tibet, Nepal, or northern India, and have an outstanding ability to purify the energy in a home. Their use in Asia dates back to over 3,000 years ago. These remarkable objects can create a sound vibration so powerful it can feel as if the walls are coming down. The vibration of the sound seems to reach deep inside your soul. It can cleanse your strands and the myriad strands in your home. In fact, some Western doctors use singing bowls with cancer patients because they've found the sounds produced can have an impact on diseased cells. When used for spiritual purposes, the sound of a singing bowl can also project powerful energy forms. Alexandre David Neal, an intrepid French adventurer who spent 14 years exploring Tibet in the early 1900s, described seeing flashes of light coming out of a singing bowl played by a lama in a remote monastery. The holy man said that the sound from the singing bowl could create shapes and even call spiritual beings. He declared that one's thoughts and intentions could travel on the sound of the singing bowl to create manifestations of energy. Crystal singing bowls. Quartz singing bowls have a special ability to harmonize the subtle energy of light in a room, as well as your personal energy field. They have a remarkable ability to clear any unneeded strands, especially any connecting into your third eye and crown chakras. The energy produced by them is almost alchemical in nature and can dramatically raise the consciousness of a space. These bowls are made from silica, the base component of quartz crystals, and crystals have been used for spiritual practices for thousands of years. Quartz crystals have the ability to transmit information and energy and are used in the original quartz radio to transmit sound. Crystal singing bowls range in size from 6 to 20 inches in diameter. Different sizes produce different tones. These ethereal-looking singing bowls can be played by gently tapping them with a padded wooden mallet to create a pure bell-like sound. You can also circle the circumference of the bowl with a rubber-coated mallet until it begins to sing. Be careful not to allow the vibration to become too intense for too long, as this can crack the crystal. The spiraling movement of the sound creates mystical spirals in the energy of the room. Shamanic drumming. Shamans have always used drums for banishing negative energy, clearing spaces, and releasing cords and attachments. Every earth-based culture throughout time has used drums for clearing negative energy and for inviting positive energy into a space. Drumming is close to my soul, and I've seen profound results using the drum for clearing. I had drummed for decades, but when I was in Africa spending time with the Zulu, I had an experience that gave me an even deeper sense of the power of the drum. One night, I was sitting in the dirt in a hut made of straw and mud in Bophuthatswana with the spiritual head of the Zulu, Credo Mutwa. There was a fire in the center of his hut. Through the opening above the fire, I could see stars. It seemed that some of the embers were floating up to join those sparkling pinpoints of light. Next to Credo was a large, well-used drum that he was rhythmically tapping with his hands. The sonorous beat of his drum filled me. It felt like it was penetrating into the core of my being. Nothing existed except for the beat. Time had no beginning and no end. There wasn't dark and light or good and bad. Everything simply was. If it's true that the universe is comprised of a rhythmic, ever-changing, ever-flowing stream of energy, the drum beat pushed me off the shore into the flow of that ancient and primordial sound. I was being called home. This experience deepened my connection to my drumming. For me, the drum provides a profound pathway to release entity attachments, dissolve dark energies, clear energy fields of negative strands, and invite excellent, loving energy into a room or space. I've used the drums many times to clear dark energies. I'm a drum maker, so I have a special connection to drums. My husband and I have been making drums for decades. We also drum together. We drum to connect with the cycles of life, to celebrate our lives, to release pent-up emotions, to grow closer to the Creator. I also teach drumming and lead drumming circles. The drum is one of my allies. It carries me to the center of my soul. And one of its gifts is the ability to clear spaces and people. The sound of drumming is a part of our genetic code. The sound tunes us in to ancestral memories of our collective tribal life around the fire. Its rhythmic beat is the pulse, the heartbeat of the universe. As with singing in some Native American tribes, drumming is believed to open a mystical pathway, so drummers can connect with our Creator, the great mystery. In the shamanic traditions of Siberia, it's believed that drumming creates a bridge so that you can go from one world to another. When you stop the drum, the bridge disappears. Drumming to space clear. Number one, greet your drum. By slowly rubbing your hand around in a circle on your drum, you're greeting it. Address it by name or with a reverent title, such as Star Singer or Mother's Heartbeat. Hold your drum close to your heart. Imagine love flowing into it. Allow your awareness to fill the interior of the drum. Three, be still and allow the energy inside you to build. When the energy is at its peak, express it as a shout or just begin to drum. This calls spirit and asks for assistance. Four, begin drumming. Keep your drumstick hand really loose. Allow your wrist to be flexible so that the movement comes from the wrist instead of the arm. The heartbeat, two-beat rhythm, lub-dub, 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 is good to start out. It's a primal sound for humans. We all heard this rhythm in the womb. Five, allow your breath to deepen and your body to relax. Let the rhythm emerge of its own accord. Use whatever beat feels best to you, simply allowing a natural rhythm to evolve. Trust your intuition. Get out of the way and allow the drumming to happen. Connect with the spirit of the drum. Six, drum until the entire room rings clear. Your intuition will tell you when this is complete. Seven, make a figure eight with your drum. In other words, hold your drum in front of you and move it as if you were creating a figure eight in front of you. This seals the energy. When the figure eight is complete, you should be in the same corner or area where you started. Eight, thank the Creator for assisting you. Express gratitude audibly or silently, and then be still, and allow spirit to fill the space and you. Objects that are used for space clearing are used much in the same way that they're used for cord cutting. The difference between drums and other space clearing tools is that drums can break up heavy, dense, thick energy quickly. Bells, chimes, essential oils, feathers, and incense, on the other hand, are better suited for more subtle energy. Rattles. Calling spirit. Not all tribes use drums, but the use of ceremonial rattles is nearly ubiquitous. I love working with rattles. For me personally, it's often easier to call spirit with a rattle than with a drum. Somehow the softer sound seems to lull me into an expanded awareness of the world around me. In the present day, rattles are used to soothe babies. This custom has its roots in Native cultures, where rattles were used to ward off negative spirits. So using a rattle with a child was thought to keep the child safe and protected. Rattles were also used to clear negative energies and create an energy of protection and grace. Native rattles were made from a variety of materials, such as gourds, turtle shells, pottery, rawhide, even carved wood. And they were decorated in a symbolic manner, with each part of the decor having a deeper meaning. Just as drums were considered sacred because of their rhythm, which created a bridge from the physical realm to the spiritual, the cadence of native rattles also has the ability to alter consciousness and transport us to other realms. Whenever you shake a rattle, you'll activate genetic memories of dancing around a fire, and its sound can softly clear cords of energy that don't serve you or your home, as well as flooding beneficial energy into your environment. Simply taking a rattle and running it down your body while you rattle, starting at your head and working downward, you can space clear your energy field and the energies around you, as well as clear most minor attachments and unneeded strands and increase the energy of your positive strands. Strengthen your strands to the universe. One of the most effective ways to bring a balanced, vibrant energy into your home is through the use of a home altar. Home altars go back to the earliest history of human beings, even into primordial times when people lived in caves. Altars made out of bare bones and other objects have been found on cave ledges. Now, in modern times, we have echoes of this practice. For example, a gathering of photos on the home piano is a kind of subliminal ancestor altar. The objects that you gather around your fireplace echo back to altars honoring Hestia in ancient Greece, in which altars by the fireplace blessed home and hearth. Altars do not need to be religious. Simply gathering together objects that are meaningful to you can energize your home. Altars are valuable because they provide a spiritual backdrop for everything that occurs in your home. They also can serve as a kind of beacon to call spiritual assistance and then radiate sparkling energy into the space. Why altars work? In many ways, the power of the altar lies in its visible appearance. The structure and objects of the altar appeal to our psyche because they give form to the formless and provide a visual representation of the divine. It's difficult to comprehend the spiritual realm because of its unseen nature. However, when objects are thoughtfully placed on an altar to physically represent thoughts, plans, ideas, or dreams, which by their very essence are invisible, this gives substance to your intentions. The creation of an altar is a sacred act, an act of power and grace. For a few timeless minutes, as you stand before your altar, you enter a dimension beyond ordinary reality, where light, sound, and energy merge into an exquisite state of being. The creation of an altar to strengthen your strands to the universe is a hallowed thing. It sets forces in play that will continue to radiate light and a vibrant frequency throughout all of your strands, and this can have a profound effect on every cord, ribbon, strand, and filament of energy that flows out of you and into you, and in and out of your home. Create your altar from scratch. 1. A place for your altar. There are many methods you can use to determine a place for your altar. However, the best place is the place that works for you. No space is too small to make an effective and lovely altar. Size is not important. What matters is combining your clear intention with your very best efforts to create a lovely spot that's representative of what's in your heart. It can be on a shelf, a hearth, a window ledge, a coffee table, a dresser, or the floor. 2. Preparation for your altar. After you've decided where to put your altar, gather your materials together. Select the objects that will be included in the altar. Decide how you will arrange them on the altar. Finally, cleanse the energy of both the objects and the space. Decide what overall feeling you wish to portray. Take your time with this step. You're setting the stage and the energy for everything that will come after. This preparation is a very important step in the creation of your altar, because the basic energy of your altar is established during its inception. The ongoing energy of your altar is dependent upon the care and thoroughness that you put into these preparation stages. 3. Your altar cloth. The altar cloth can provide a kind of context, a grounding for the rest of the altar. It represents the foundation that the altar is built upon. Altar cloths can add a richness and a depth of dimension to any altar. Choose colors and textures that give you the feeling you desire for your affinity strands. Here are some common associations with the different colors you might choose for your altar cloth. Red, activity, courage, physical strength, grounding. Orange, optimism, social connection, enthusiasm, endurance. Yellow, mental clarity, happiness, cheerfulness. Green, growth, abundance, healing, harmony, hope. Blue, faith, trust, communication, sincerity, wisdom. Purple, nobility, grace, spiritual attunement, dignity. Violet, connection to spiritual and angelic realms. Pink, love, sincerity, innocence. White, light, purity, simplicity, cleanliness. Black, strength, power, elegance, depth, wisdom. 4. Representation of the divine. Every altar should have an object on it that represents spiritual or divine energies. At least one altar object should symbolically represent a dimension beyond the ordinariness of life. For one person, this might be something from nature. For someone else, it might be a picture of a spiritual teacher or an ancient god. For another, an icon of Jesus or Mary or the Buddha. Having an altar object that signifies a realm beyond the physical realms declares your altar to be a sacred space. 5. Representation of you and friends and family members. It's important that you are represented on your altar. So put something on it that signifies you. It can be a photograph, but you can also use a crystal, stone, or memento. You can also include objects that represent other people to make sure that you have beneficial strands flowing between you. On my altar, I put a small hand-carved stone mother bear to represent me, a father bear for my husband, and a baby bear for our daughter. I positioned them so we're all facing each other. And I put a rose quartz heart in the center of our small circle. 6. Dedication of your altar. A dedication ceremony invokes energy into the altar to activate it and bring positive, beneficial energy to you and your family and friends. Here's an example of a dedication. May the Creator who dwells within all things bring blessings to this home. May this altar be a constant reminder of the divine spark of joy that dwells within each of us. Let joy, love, guidance, and peace fill these items and the altar upon which they reside. May these items bless our home with inner peace and joy. 7. Preservation of the energy on your altar. Once the energy of your altar has been established, you'll want to keep it fresh and renewed so that it can always be a source of strength and peace to you. There's a number of ways you can do this. The simplest way, and one of the most powerful, is to regularly meditate at your altar. Meditating at your altar clears the items on it, and the strands that connect you to your inner and outer worlds are also strengthened. The power of your prayers and intention infuses the altar with energy, which radiates out into the universe, magnifying what is in your heart, so that it becomes a force for healing and action in the world. This energy rebounds back to you as well, so that you feel more filled with life and peace. This is a two-way process that can have an incredible effect on your life, even as it works to continually add potency to your altar. Stones and gemstones on your altar and in your home. Polished stones and gemstones have been used on altars and in personal living spaces and for healing purposes since the earliest times. It was felt that each type of stone or gem could elicit a particular and unique kind of energy. Some activated healing and were used for soothing and relaxing, while others were used to evoke vitality. Using specially chosen stones or gems on your home altar can quicken the specific kind of energy associated with them. Here are some qualities commonly associated with some gems and stones. Adventurine, healing, agate, success, happiness, amber, protection, healing, amethyst, compassion, clairvoyance, aquamarine, harmony, bloodstone, healing, physical strengthening, carnelian, physical grounding, citrine, mental clarity, emerald, spiritual healing, fluorite, mental attunement, calming, garnet, physical strength, assertiveness, jade, healing, wisdom, jet, grounding, protection, lapis lazuli, spirituality, intuition, royalty, malachite, psychic power, healing, cleansing, moonstone, emotional balancing, lunar qualities, obsidian, grounding, protection, opal, emotional clarity, prenite, calmness and unconditional love and healing, quartz crystal, spiritual attunement, ruby, strength, health, and spiritual passion. Sapphire, devotion and spirituality. Selenite, dreaming skills, intuition, meditation. Topaz, expansion.